Right, this is, Monica's going to brief on something, and this is a highly unique thing that, in my opinion, the problems work through handcuffed by a policy issue, go by the directness of the law, and as you know, is a crossed I or a dotted T, it's sometimes it comes down to that, but this is a highly unique case, and we're going to be asking for a decision here when we get through.
Okay, this is really coming down from a very high-level discussion to a very specific issue. We're going to have to change gears here. Basically, what we found ourselves in a situation where our plan document gives several guidelines on how we pay out distributions to employees, to retirees and their beneficiaries, and but it doesn't address every situation. So we came up with this one situation where we had a retiree who passed away about 4 years ago, and he named his beneficiary was his granddaughter, who was a minor at the time. And the problem came in line with he did not appoint a custodian for that minor child. So we required the guardian to go to court and have the court say, you know, basically certify this guardian and say, this is how the money will be spent, or you're certifying that you'll use this money in the best interest of this minor. The guardian never did that. So for, you know, for roughly 4 years or so, we've had no payments going out on behalf of this minor. The minor turned 18 last week. And so now we need to figure out, okay, well, how do we move forward? So there's a couple things. I'm going to read through my notes to make sure I don't miss any of the key things. One thing is when you have a payment to a beneficiary, they usually start after a month or two. Retiree passes away, and then the beneficiary is required to produce. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Is this a married person?
The retiree was not married at the time.
Or the time of the election?
That's correct. Was not married at the time of the election. So, and I see where you're going with that. But that was not the part of our complication here. So it typically takes a couple months for a benefit to be initiated for a retired beneficiary, you know, so we can get all the proper documentation, death certificate, and then the bank information, all the stuff we need to get payments going. So typically it's a couple months and then payments are back running. And once we do that, we'll back pay those couple of months and then do the normal monthly payments from there forward. In this case, what happened with, since the beneficiary was a minor and we couldn't obtain the proper documentation from the guardian, payments have just stopped in their entirety. In fact, I'm not even sure the beneficiary is aware that she has this benefit coming to her. I have not had any communication with the minor child, only with the parent. So because of that, right now what we're waiting on is, when we looked at it, okay, now we can start these benefits payments to this child, we have $40,000 in back payments. So if we're looking at, okay, what does a plan document say? How do we address this? We pull a couple things from the plan document that I think relate to this. One, payments to beneficiary will be in the same form that the retiree was receiving. In this case, a retiree elected 120 payments for the amount of $862.47. And so payments, according to the plan document, should begin the monthly payments of $862.47 till they reach the full amount of the 120 payments combined with the retiree and the beneficiary. The plan also states there will be no lump sum payments for more than $10,000. So where normally we would do a catch up and catch up the beneficiary and then start those monthly payments, we're looking at over, you know, nearly $40,000 or a little bit over $40,000 in this case. Plan document says we can do a lump sum catch up. The plan document doesn't have an option to where a retiree or beneficiary can elect, I want a partial lump sum that would be under the $10,000, and then give me the monthly payments. Plan document doesn't address that. So what we're trying to do is rather than make a major change to the plan that would require an amendment, which in my opinion might be a little bit messy right now because IRS has our plan documents.
Yeah.
We just want to seek guidance based off of what the plan document is telling us. So this is basically our recommendation. And mind you, this is only for certain only payments and certain in life. That means when a retiree elects a certain number of payments for either their lifetime or just a certain number of payments, period. So those payments are guaranteed. In this particular case, the retiree elected 120 payments. So this is our recommendation is, in the event a lapse of time occurs between the final payment to a retired participant and the commencement of payments to their designated beneficiary, A, payments to the beneficiary will commence as soon as eligibility is met and all required documentation has been received, and B, back payments less than $10,000 will be paid in a lump sum amount, and from there forward payments will continue in the amount and for the period as initially elected by the retiree, or C, if back payments are greater than $10,000, the back payments will be paid in monthly payments equal to the amount initially elected by the retiree at the end of the original term.
Say that again, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're basically, you want me to read it or just
please.
Give you the, okay. This is just the C part, the last one. If back payments are greater than $10,000, the back payments will be paid in monthly payments equal to the amount initially elected by the retiree at the end of the original term. We're adding it to the end of what the retiree would have. So, you know, if the retiree's benefits would have stopped, you know, a year from now, then any of the back payments would be added starting from that point and would go out until the full 120 payments were paid.
Well, could you, and again, I don't have a problem with this, but could you make a $10,000 lump sum payment and then the balance of it like this? I mean, is that...
And see, we looked into that, but the plan document does not have any provision that says you can get a lump sum and then monthly payments.
Okay.
So that's why we didn't. We looked into that.
How many payments are due?
Well, 45, there's been 45 payments that... You know, since the time, or 45 not paid, since the time the retiree passed away.
45 not paid.
Correct.
So how many months would he have had left had he not died?
Oh, gosh, you guys are, come on, math people.
120 minus 48. Well, he had 10 years, and how long did he live into the 10 years?
He had 32 payments paid to him.
Okay.
So nearly three years.
So he had 7 years to go.
And
so this person's got roughly 7 years of payments.
Yes.
A little less than seven years of payments.
And four of them have already
which
gone by.
4 years. Right. $70,000 total.
Right. So we would add those 4 years basically to the end.
They'd still get it 7 years from now. They'd get the same payments. But
there's 120 payments will be paid out, but right. Rather than back paying, we'll just continue it from here forward. Right. Now we're looking at this not only for this one specific, I mean, we're talking, you know, we have someone who just turned 18, so giving a $40,000 payment probably wouldn't be the wisest thing, but we're not just looking at it for this particular case, but should something like this happen in the future, we're looking for a general guidance that, you know, should it be more than $10,000, we'll just add those payments to the end.
And again, I'm sorry. You discussed the possibility of requirement of amending the plan. Is this can this be handled as an administrative option within the plan, or you're not talking about going back and amending the plan or anything of that nature to get this done?
No, if we do it where we say anything over $10,000 is added to the end, I don't think we need to amend it.
Okay.
But if we say we want to pay up to $10,000 in a lump sum and then pay the rest, I think we would. That would be a significant. That would really be going outside of the guidelines that are currently provisions in the plan document. Yeah. So it basically we're complying. We're going along with what the plan document says. If we continue the monthly payments the same as they were for the retiree. But since there has been such a huge lag, that's why we wanted to bring it and make sure that, and the actuaries had you know, had some reservations about, well, how do you want to go forward on this? Yeah, and so
on a timeline, so we're basically just taking out that four-year period.
Yes, sir.
And squeezing.
Just pushing it.
Yes, sir. It's like it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Is that...
I would think that would be fine. You have no contact with the 18-year-old.
I have not talked with the 18-year-old. She was a minor. I've talked with the mom.
They got a problem?
You have to think about what the grandfather would want. I mean, if they're going to school and college, I mean...
My concern is this. A grandfather skipped the generation in this particular case and did not name the parent as the custodian.
And you can't.
There's a reason for that
problem. Yes, sir.
A lot of worms.
You just have to go by what a document says.
Unless we want an amendment, I think so, yes.
I think Adam, my feeling is Adam to the end. Yeah, just get the payments that haven't been made and start making them, whatever the paperwork is in.
Let's count payments, though.
We did.
120. We've already paid 36, say. It's around
32, I think.
32,
yes, sir. She's got 88 payments.
Okay, she's got 88 payments. Mm-hmm. We're going to eliminate this problem that was created because the guardian wouldn't cooperate. So that's just, you know, she's too bad. And then we're just going to keep making monthly payments.
Mm-hmm. This person gets 88.
So the full amount of payments, a full 120 payments will be made.
No lump sums.
We're just going further along. No lump sum. They're just going further along into their... into the life, in time.
It's, I know you've thought about this, but would they be entitled to any interest on that sum?
We did. We thought about that and looked at that. And should we, if we were to go that route and recalculate on an interest in this, we would look at, I would assume, what the plan, whether it had losses or gains. And the risk to that is the benefit could drop. So how we're looking at it is the benefit is what it is at the time the retiree started drawing that benefit. The benefit said this is what your benefit is and this is how, you know, according to how many payments you elected. So, you know, at this point in time, as we...
The squeezing that catch-up, that's the risk we're taking, is that our plan didn't call for a big enough payment.
Right.
There's too much delay, and it wasn't really our fault that somebody wouldn't cooperate there.
I believe that the $40,000, it's my understanding that probably it's paternalistic when the plan was written. The plan document is written, so in a defined benefit, they don't want someone to walk away with a bunch of money. They want their money to be basically be protected. And so, you know, and setting aside that this is an 18-year-old, who would get $40,000, I think that...
It'd be a car.
Yeah, it would be a car, a boat, or whatever, depending on my son, it would be a boat.
That's not our duty, though.
No. Right, but I believe that was the intent when the plan was written, to protect the recipients of these funds from themselves. Is
I agree.
You know, it's my thought.
Almost like a spendthrift trust in one.
Yes, yes. Any other questions?
Okay, we have a
resolution. I need to read this resolution. Be it resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority hereby adopts the following operating guidelines to the retirement plan for employees of Brazos River Authority, the retirement plan, effective as of August 1, 2011. Whereas the Brazos River Authority has adopted and maintains, for the exclusive benefit of its eligible and current former employees, a qualified plan known as the retirement plan. And whereas the Retirement Committee has responsibility for the general supervision and administration of the retirement plan and its assets and shall have all powers necessary to accomplish such duties, and now therefore the Brazos River Authority does hereby adopt the following guidelines for certain only and certain in life benefit payment elections as set forth below. In the event a lapse of time occurs between the final payment to a retired participant and the commencement of payments to their designated beneficiary, A, payments to the beneficiary will commence as soon as eligibility is met and all required documentation has been received, and B, back payments less than $10,000 will be paid in a lump sum amount, and from there forward payments will continue in the amount and for the period as initially elected by the retiree, or C, if back payments are greater than $10,000, the back payments will be paid in monthly payments equal to the amount initially elected by the retiree at the end of the original term.
So moved. Second.
Polling the board.
Chairman Bittens?
Yes.
Okay, Director Scott?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Collinsworth?
Yes.
Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Wheelis?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm